the crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Okay, gut check. Brewers dropped the first two of a four-game series against the Diamondbacks. They've dropped back-to-back games after the clincher. And now, getting ready for October 1st, man. It's the reality. This team's headed to the wild card round. I'm Dominic Catronio. Normally, we start these shows with scoreboard watching. Quite frankly, they're not going to catch him. It stinks, but it can focus your attention where it needs to go a little bit faster. But for what it's worth, the Phillies won tonight. They're 92 wins. The Dodgers just took the lead on the Rockies. Guess who? Yep, that guy. He did it again. Shohei Ohtani hit his 52nd homer of the year. They're leading 3-2. So they're potentially en route to their 92nd win, and the Brewers are at 88 wins with 8 games to go. They're 4 games back in record, 5 games back with tiebreaker included. Unless something drastic happens in the next 8 games, I think I'm done updating the first and second seed watch. This team is headed to the wild card round. So with that being said, after today's 7-4 loss to the Diamondbacks, looking to who you could face. So with the win, the Diamondbacks moved to the 2 spot. The Mets got blown out by those aforementioned Phillies, and they're at 85 wins. The Diamondbacks are now at 86 wins. And something to keep in mind, as we said yesterday, though, is that if those two teams end up tied, the D-backs and the Mets, it'll be the Diamondbacks here at American Family Field for a best of three series once again. And quite frankly, I think a lot of Brewers fans are apprehensive about that offer right now, given how elite this offense is. Lourdes Gurriel comes off the IL and hits a go-ahead home run, and the Diamondbacks never look back from there. The Brewers give up 7 runs against the best offense in baseball. I mean, the numbers bear that out. They are the best offense in baseball, the Arizona Diamondbacks. And they get by with their bullpen, and it seems like they've stabilized things now. Paul Sewald's on the injured list. He has lost the closer role previously to going on the IL. Kevin Ginkle's not pitching the 8th inning anymore. He's pitching the 6th inning, and he's pitching it well. Justin Martinez, he had the 7th inning tonight and was great on a back-to-back. Ryan Thompson was great, and A.J. Puck has allowed 1 earned run in his 20 innings as a Diamondback. They have found it with their bullpen. And even though Zach Gallen looked human for the first time the Brewers have seen him tonight, giving up 3 homers in that 5th inning, Gallen gave them enough to win. 4 earned runs. And the Brewers' offense is the story. And again, if you want to fast forward, I've done this line before. If you want to fast forward, here's the whole story of the game. The Brewers didn't get the big hit. 0-7 with runners in scoring position. 9 runners left on base. All 4 runs coming via home run. And again, I know some folks like to fall back, oh, well, they're playing tough pitchers, you know? It's like, oh, they're good opponents. So will October. And the glass half full take is, okay, you're seeing what you need to do. You need to get better. You know that. But the glass half empty take is, well, you want to go into October playing well. The Brewers offense, as we talked about in yesterday's show, hasn't been pretty here in the month of September. They are, by batting average, the worst offense in September, hitting only .209. They're slugging in the 300s. It's not pretty right now, despite having all those homers. So I feel the same way tonight as I felt after dropping the first two games against the Dodgers. Now, I'm not saying the Diamondbacks are the Dodgers, but what I'm saying is the Brewers, just as they did in those two games against LA, they need to get a split for themselves, because they're obviously going to be the 3 seed. They're obviously going to be hosting a series, but just for themselves, to get themselves off the deck and say, okay, it's all good. They've lost 3 of their last 4. Going back, yes, they won the series against the Phillies. Now, get yourself off the deck, get a split, have a happy off day Monday, then head to Pittsburgh in a positive mood. That's my take. What can you come out of this? Can you pick yourself up, dust yourself off? You're going against Merrill Kelly tomorrow, and then another lefty in Jordan Montgomery, who has not been great this season, on Sunday. Pick yourself up, show me what you got, and see if you can split this series and just kind of calm the waters, get to that 90-win mark that is always a short benchmark, if you will, and then regroup after the off day on Monday. But this team is likely bound for the wild card series. Get ready for it. Now we'll scoreboard watch for those teams, and figure out what needs to go right for this offense. We'll talk about it with Craig Kishon coming up in just a moment. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. I think the common phrase, as I said earlier, the Brewers don't want to face the Diamondbacks because of this offense. Then me, I'm like, well, you could say, oh, I don't want to face the Mets because of all their lefties, and their bullpen leaves a little bit to be desired. Or then, oh, I don't want to face the Braves because they got Sale. Oh, I don't want to face the Padres. Well, I don't think you're going to have to face the Padres, but now you're getting into the fear part. And fear is good. It's okay, but let's channel it, and let's be okay with it. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank, with a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. We'll have Craig Kishon with us on the other side of the break on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Dom Catronio with you, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. This text from Doug: I'm glad these weren't the first two games of a playoff series. It would be over. I want no part of Arizona. They're getting hot. Well, they've been hot, and Craig Kishon joins us now, Valley Sports Wisconsin, and here on WTMJ. Craig, let's also set the bar here. Diamondbacks are a good team. They've been one of the top four teams in baseball since the All-Star break. This isn't some fluky run that they're on. They've been good for a very long time, and they are leading baseball in runs per game, and they've flexed their muscles these first two games of this series and has made some folks a little bit nervous right now.
Yeah, they can flex their muscles, and they can also put the ball in play and make you get them out at a pretty high level. I mean, they're only two wins behind Milwaukee's pace here right now. So as good as the Brewers have been, you know, all season long have been really consistent, this Arizona Diamondbacks team, as you mentioned, is has more steam in their engine here right now as they're rolling down the tracks. And the Brewers are getting a piece of this here right now. Although, you know, the Brewers did a nice job against them, you know, last weekend in Arizona too. So these are two evenly matched teams, and it's so far it's gone the Diamondbacks' way. But if this is a playoff preview, I'm not scared of this Diamondbacks team. I'm not worried about what happened next year. I just really feel like this Brewer team is so, so different than it was a year ago. And if you're not buying into that, I don't know what else to tell you, but you haven't been watching all season long. Things should change here come postseason time.
When it comes to, you know, who do you want to face and all that stuff, I understand how some folks are scared of the Diamondbacks. I certainly am too. And I was thinking about it too, and how I tip my cap to Torey Lovullo tonight because of the two key moves he made. Number one is he went to Justin Martinez, arguably his best reliever that isn't A.J. Puck. He went to his flame-throwing right-hander on a back-to-back, mind you. He pitched last night, too, because it was still only a 3-1 game before it blew open. He goes to Justin Martinez in the seventh inning. You know, not maybe when you would traditionally expect a guy of his caliber to face Churio again, to face Contreras, to face Mitchell, and to face Adames. Well, you know, that's sort of what we've seen, you know, the Brewers treat the most important inning. It's like, all right, well, you're facing the meat of their order. We got to have one of our best guys there. I thought that was a really savvy move by him to go to him. And furthermore, that Martinez got his revenge on Churio. And I don't think it was any surprise that Churio was getting peppered with sliders to start off that at bat.
Well, and you know, you're right. We've seen it with Milwaukee. Good teams who are deep can do this. And they're key moments of the game. And sometimes, you know, you have to treat a game depending upon how things are going. What you've seen out of, you know, the 3-home run fifth for Milwaukee, you got to treat things a little different. You got to have a good feel for it. And certainly he's got a great feel for his team. Look what they did a year ago, and look what they've got back, and look what they've accomplished here so far. So Brewers have some dangerous hitters here, and we're going to see probably a little more of this, Dom, where you're going to see pitching matchups maybe like you haven't seen in the past with this Brewer team right now, and say, you know what, if we can shut them down here, we got a good chance of winning this game. And it turned out they did.
The other savvy move that I thought that Torey Lovullo made tonight was pitch hitting Jock Peterson with Randall Grichuk. And this is what they've been doing all season long. When Jared Koenig came in, the Brewers knew this was going to happen, and they part of the reason why they wanted to get Jock out of the order, but they knew they were going to have a full hands with Grichuk. They liked Koenig against Grichuk, even though Grichuk, you know, has a really good reputation against lefties, a really good reputation as a pinch hitter, and he draws the bases loaded walk on 9 pitches. A big league veteran at bat, a guy that's got over 10 years of service time. And I'm not trying to pull down a guy like Jake Bowers, but Jake Bowers is basically the Brewers' Randall Grichuk in that he's the pinch hitter from the left side whenever a tough righty comes in, right? And Jake Bowers, while he has a good on base as a pinch hitter, he's not so much of a thump threat. He's up there to draw a walk. He's up there to draw a good at bat. And I think that's a stark difference that the Brewers don't have compared to a team like the Diamondbacks, is like that bench bat. I mean, Gary could be this. Gary started tonight, and he's been hot and cold. But the Brewers don't have that bat off the bench. You're like, uh-oh, here comes this guy. And I feel that way when I see Grichuk come up.
Well, yeah, and you know what? The Brewers haven't really had that all season long, and I think part of that is the fact that they've had so many basically young kids on their team, you know, and some of those guys can't start every game. They have to sit, and then who are you going to use as a pinch hitter? And those are tough decisions to make when you have, you know, inexperienced bats off your bench, and I think that's maybe one of the downsides that the Brewers have had to battle here this season. But a veteran guy like Grichuk, you come in here and you intentionally walk Marte to load the bases. It's not so much that you're taking pressure off yourself. And now if you're Jared Koenig, there's pressure on the pitcher. And that was a great at bat. It was very important. The Arizona Diamondbacks walks today, I think they had 5 in total. I don't think any of the walks actually scored in this game, but most of those walks got the next batter to do something as far as driving in a run. And whether it was an infield ground out, a bases loaded walk, it helped get the next batter, bottom part of the order, Perdomo, early in this game to get RBI single, and then a sac fly. I mean, the walks really did kind of kill the Brewers pitching here in this one. And, you know, you're right, Dom, you got a veteran guy like that right there. If you're checking boxes and matchups and whatnot, is certainly got to give the Diamondbacks the nod in that category.
Yeah, Colin Ray in that second inning, the walk that you mentioned to Moreno was that led to Perdomo. And even that whole second inning, nothing was hit hard. Even the home run that Marte hit wasn't hit that hard, but
right,
that's baseball, Susan. Sometimes it happens, but at least Marte retired the final 7 batters of the game that he had, or excuse me, Ray had the final 7 batters of the game he retired after the sac fly from Corbin Carroll. On the Brewers front, just briefly, I know they had the 3 homers in the 5th inning, but aside from that, they had a lot of traffic, 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most worried, 1 being not worried at all, where are you on the Brewers' offense right now with a little over a week to go?
I'm on the worried meter, and I kind of have been here because this has been quite a stretch. I think we're going, you know, I think we're pushing about a 2-week stretch here, Dom, of the games that they have won have been, for the most part, very low scoring. Yes, there have been some low scoring losses in there as well, but they're not totally clicking here right now. I loved the 5th inning. We know it's rare to get a 3 home run inning. It's happened once this year, and you go all the way back, what, to April of 2023, the last time it happened. But that's not going to be enough in some games, and clearly it wasn't here. I think tonight I saw a lot of hope in that inning because I love comebacks, and comebacks are tough to do in baseball, especially when you're down, you know, by more than a couple of runs, and they were down 4-0. To come back and tie it, man, they had juice with the crowd. They had juice, you know, at the plate. And then, you know, one batter in the 6th inning, the leadoff home run that Gurriel hit, was like, holy mackerel, what just happened? And then the Brewer offense just didn't get anything going after that. Just not enough.
It's certainly a moment, as Pat Murphy says, you got to answer the question. And, you know, the question right now is, okay, can you make the adjustment? Can you get yourself ready to go for what this is going to be like in the postseason. We'll talk a little pitching coming up next. A move made today as well for the Brewers bullpen that got into the game in Kevin Hergett. Talk about that. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers. 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers fall 7-4 to the Diamondbacks. I'm Dominic Catronio. Craig Kishon is here too. This text from the 414 asking, why do the Diamondbacks have the worst record? Have a worse record if they have the best offense in baseball? They're only two games back of the Brewers. Let's not act like that's a giant gap or they're a bad team. They're probably postseason bound, and part of it's because their bullpen in the first half of the season was terrible. They haven't had Merrill Kelly for most of the season. They haven't had Eduardo Rodriguez for most of the season. They had Zach Gallen missing for a month and a half, and they were a lot like the Brewers, relying on rookie starting pitching depth. But again, let's not discredit the Diamondbacks. They're a good team, but at the same time, it's like, hey, you know you can perform better than this. And the way I saw it today for the Brewers, two guys, DL Hall, Colin Ray, Craig, I don't want to like make excuses, and I don't want to sit here and like put words into somebody else's mouth, but we know pitchers are creatures of habit, right? And both of these guys, Ray and Hall, whether it, you know, is meant to lighten the load on their arms or some sort of, hey, take a breather type thing, they have not responded really recently to being reworked in this rotation. All right, you're going to start. You're going to be a piggyback. You're going to get a start this time. We're going to go six, man. We're going to go back to five. Colin Ray, you're going to have a shorter start today. Again, creatures of habit. You know, the whole starting pitcher rotation is give me the ball of your fifth day. And now all of a sudden, these two guys have found themselves on the other side. I'm not trying to say this is the reason why they've been struggling, but it has to be a factor because these guys have not been the same since Ray, you know, obviously the Giants game, but even a little bit before that. And now Hall, since having that great start against the Reds, hasn't been the same either.
Well, we do know this, Dom. Colin Ray can handle just about anything. I just think he's got the demeanor and the ability to do it. Now, he's clearly given up a lot of runs here in a 5-6-7 game stretch, including tonight. D.L. Hall doesn't have the experience enough to know what he can and can't handle right now in the majors, in my opinion, because he's hardly pitched in the majors. So to me, you know, I was going to ask you this, would tonight have been a better situation and maybe more probable in the playoffs for us to see D.L. Hall start maybe that first inning of a game that Colin Ray would then pick up to help Colin Ray get through the first inning, as in tonight, gave up a home run to the second batter, a base hit after that, and struggled in the first two innings, quite frankly, giving up all three of his runs. Is that something that we're more likely to see, and maybe should we have seen that tonight to test a playoff run?
I think what you're going to see is if, let's say they are playing the Diamondbacks, I bet at least one of those three games we see a left-handed opener. I really do. And I know you don't want to face Ketel Marte batting from the right side. And the Brewers bullpen is suddenly very left-handed. But I wonder if like Aaron Ashby starts the first two innings of a game at some point in a wild card series because of the fact that, okay, you've got Corbin Carroll, lefty. Jock Peterson would have to face a lefty at least once probably unless they want to take him out of the lineup and put him back in and start Randall Grichuk. That's something that they could do too. Then Christian Walker, shockingly, doesn't really hit lefties as well as you think. I know he's got 26 homers. Only four of them have come off lefties. And then they've got Gurriel back, which helps them as far as their righty-lefty splits go, so they don't have to start McCarthy in that regard. So I wonder if that could be in the cards. But I think part of all of this comes into, if you're facing the Diamondbacks, it centers around Ketel Marte, who hit a homer today left-handed. He had a rocket doubled on the left field line right-handed. He also had a bunt hit, which I wasn't really a fan of, but whatever. The point is, he's the catalyst of this offense in this particular case, and I think that they would have rather seen only one at-bat from D.L. Hall versus Ketel Marte. It was there in the fifth inning. He did not get the job done. They went to Koenig, but knew they were going to intentionally walk Marte to not let him get another AB right-handed. So to answer your question, Craig, I think you see what I'm saying is that they thought Ray could handle it twice as opposed to Hall being assigned to handle Marte twice, and that's why they did it tonight.
Yep, and like you said too, I mean, Ketel Marte is going to I mean, he's going to beat just about anybody. He's had that type of season. He's that type of player. And, you know, he got to Ray early here in this one, too. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, in my opinion. I think the other thing, you know, I don't know how much you've talked about this because I haven't been on your show in over a week because of scheduling here, Dom. But I think that when you get into making out your postseason roster, there always seems to be one kind of disappointing storyline of not having somebody on that roster that's helped you all season long, just because of maybe the way that player is performing in the month of September, or matchups, or quite frankly, maybe not needed in that first round series. And I really wonder if Colin Ray is going to be one of those guys, or maybe D.L. Hall is going to be one of those guys. I mean, clearly they're not going to carry as many pitchers as they are position players on their playoff roster. So I think going into tonight, that was my biggest question with Colin Ray here over the last several starts that I had mentioned.
And when it comes to the playoff rotation, you can change your roster between rounds.
Right.
Okay, so the Brewers are only going to carry three starting pitchers in the first round, you know, against the wild card series. Then they can update it for the DS. Now, the injured list gets a little funky, but then they'll update it for the CS of, you know, you'll only need three starters for the DS because of the two off days between the travel days. And then for the CS, you'll finally need that fourth starter if you make it that far. So, I mean, as of now, as this is how I'll let you go, Craig. I mean, for me, my three starting pitchers are Freddy Peralta, Aaron Civale, and Frankie Montas, with Tobias Myers maybe on speed dial, unless somebody, you know, something changes over these final two starts for those two guys. And maybe then Tobias is my first guy that I put back onto the roster in the DS. How do you view things?
Yeah, I'd say that's a pretty safe bet. And I think it's pretty interesting how much that's changed over the last couple of weeks with us talking about this, or maybe even a month ago, because we had maybe Colin Ray starting, you know, that first game, and maybe Myers, Freddy Peralta has definitely been in that mix. But, you know, just the way Civale and Montas have come on, and we're going to see Civale tomorrow right away. These guys have pitched phenomenal. They've been around. This is exactly, quite frankly, what this team needed out of them and why they acquired them. And especially in Civale's case, getting him in early July, I mean, he's just had such a greater amount of time to redevelop as a pitcher under what the Brewers pitching machine staff, if you will, has been able to put together. So I'm anxious to see him out there tomorrow against Arizona as well, and see what he's going to show him here to get ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, just to go on that note, since August 9th when he had that start against Cincinnati when he worked into the seventh inning, since that he has made seven starts, 38 and two-thirds innings, a 2.56 ERA. He himself is 5-0 in those games. The Brewers, I'm double checking here. The Brewers are 6-1 in those seven starts too. So there's something to this for Aaron Civale finding his groove lately.
Yeah, he really has. I'm telling you, limit the walks. Obviously, we knew that going in, and he has gotten better at it. He's not been near perfect, but you need to reduce those, and I think he's found a way to do that, and that has been a big weapon, if you will, just in that case alone.
Yep, fantastic. All right, Craig Kishon, we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Brewers fall today 7-4, but now you got to do everything you can to earn a split. Thanks, Craig.
All right, buddy.
All right, back with more after this. We'll talk about the bullpen move today, and also want to play a little bit from Pat Murphy from earlier today here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio, 855-616-1620. If you're still with us, 855-616-1620. Brewers fall 7-4 to the Diamondbacks. They've dropped the first two games of a four-game series. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. And don't forget, they offer 5% off service for seniors and veterans all year round. Make sure you mention this offer when you're signing up for your appointment today. You can go to SEIDER.com. That's Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Families helping families since 1912. If you listen to Brewers warm-up earlier today, this will be redundant, but I'll do it for the podcast audience or maybe just for the post-game audience. Kevin Hergett, as you saw, come into today's game and pitched the final two innings. He has been recalled from AAA Nashville. Enoli Paredes was designated for assignment, so he is off the 40-man roster. He had no options remaining originally here on a minor league deal. And furthermore, the roster now goes to 39 for the 40-man roster in case the Brewers want to make a move in the final week of the season to put somebody back on the 40-man roster that's on the 60-day IL, or if they want to put somebody that's not on the 40-man roster on. Now, in 8 days to go, 9 days to go, I don't see that happening. But at the same time, why Kevin Hergett and not Brian Hudson? That was one of the themes earlier today with manager Pat Murphy as to, hey, what could Hudson be going through right now given he's been down for 2.5 weeks and you know he's going to be a part of this postseason picture, but where's the urgency, or should there be, of trying to get Brian Hudson back in the big leagues?
This kid's important to us. He's important to our future and everything else, and one might not understand why he's not here yet, but there's a method to the madness.
How hard has it to been maybe for the player development staff to explain to him why he's not here? I'm sure there's frustration there for him.
Amen. You know, we all want to call the shots when we want to call the shots. We all want an explanation. This is Major League Baseball, and this is about being the very, very best if you can, or being the best you can be. And you know, I'm all for explaining whatever we need to explain to the player. But the players have a big say in what happens, but not when it comes to these types of things. You know, they can want it, but there is a method and a plan. And we want it too. We want nothing more to Hudson to come back and be solid. But we don't just bring him back because, quote, you deserve it because you pitched so well early. But you got to pitch well again. That's what we're looking for. We're seeking. If you're just going to go by how he pitched recently and how his stuff was so down, then maybe he doesn't pitch. Does he just want to be on the team and doesn't pitch? Or does he want to be effective? So this is, you don't always know what your best is or what's best for you. You know, that's what we're here for.
I hear all of that from Pat Murphy, and what it sounds like, too, is he further talked later on in the press conference of just saying he's going to be back up here, and they want to use him in leverage, but they want to make sure he's right when he does come back up to the big leagues. And remember, he was sent down the first week of September. He made an appearance against the Cardinals on the 2nd. An inning and two-thirds scoreless. He did have two walks. The velo was down in that game. Goes down to Nashville, had 6 days off, then returned in his first three outings. He went one inning in each of those, 3 days between the first and second outing, 4 days between the second and third outing, 3 days between the third and fourth outing. In this past outing, which was on Wednesday night, he allowed his first run in AAA Nashville. 7 innings so far, though, down there. That's including his rehab assignment from earlier. But in total, 4 innings down there, 5 hits, 1 run, it's earned. No walks, which I think is super encouraging. He's also struck out 7 in those 4 innings. And again, I'm just the messenger here. I think he's going to be back here very, very soon. With that being said, let's hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, on the other side of this break as the Brewers fall 7-4 to the Diamondbacks. More after this on WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers lose. Time to hit the reset button and get back after it tomorrow with Aaron Civale on the mound against Merrill Kelly. I'm Dominic Catronio, going for another 15 minutes or so here on the program. Here's the manager, Pat Murphy, explaining tonight's loss.
I wasn't as excited about DL and Koenig tonight, but you know, Piamps and Hergett were great. So you don't win when you give up 7. You know, like that's not who we've been. But we did battle back and compete, and there's a lot of great performances tonight. So pleased with that. But they got some timely hits. They got some hits that were swinging bunts, and you know, they did what they needed to do. They kept it honest, and they took their walks. We unusually walked 5 or 6, 7. You don't see many games we've done that. So, yeah. But I was proud we got back in it. So,
Murph, any go-ahead homer is going to be obviously a big hit. But to have it happen so quickly after your guys, you know, tied the game, that Gurriel homer had to be kind of a killer in the dugout.
Yeah, you know, they're going to fight back. They're that type of team. I mean, they're one of the best offenses in baseball. You know, that's all there is to it. And they're one of the top 5 or 6 teams in, for sure, in the National League, and they're one of the 5 or 6 best teams in baseball. And they got everybody back from a World Series team and added a bunch from a World Series team. So the kid tonight was in the Cy Young voting. How many years of his career? He's been an all-star. He's a terrific pitcher, and we got him out of there in 5 innings. That gives you a chance to win. You get a number one that's had that type of success in his life, and you get him out of there, you got a chance to win the game. But they came back strong, and our middle relief, we didn't throw well. We walked people. The walks is what killed us, you know. So you can give up a scratch hit, or you can give up an infield hit, or you can give up a, you know, 4 hopper the other way gets through. But when you've walked 2 people, then, you know, it's not good. So we don't normally do that, so I'm going to say that's an aberration. But, that made a difference.
Do you feel like those guys were nibbling a little too much, DL and Jared?
I don't think they're middle. I don't think they had great command tonight. You know, I have to watch it. You know, I'll have to go back and watch it.
Did it feel similar to last Sunday of just how you guys were able to come back against Gallen? And do you take anything away from that?
Yeah, I mean,
how you're making adjustments within the game against.
Yeah, I thought they did. You know, We've got young hitters. We've said that all year. We got really young guys. So the young guys are figuring things out. But the Diamondbacks used their best guys, and they got it done. They held us to 4 or whatever we were, and credit goes to them. All their guys threw the ball well. Ginkle threw the ball well. Thompson threw it well. Martinez threw it great. The kid at the end, Puck, threw it great. And Gallen's a, you know, number one.
Gallen is an ace. And I'll talk to him tomorrow. He's an old friend of mine as well. So, Brewers got beat, and I think he said it right there at the top. You don't win when you give up 7, and that was the case tonight. There was 1 inning of highlights. We'll relive that inning coming up next on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get up!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
It came on fast and furious tonight for the crew. Zach Gallen getting the start for the Diamondbacks. The Brewers just saw him on Sunday. Colin Ray for the Brewers, but they were down 4-0 entering the bottom of the 5th inning with the combination of Ray and Hall. Some soft contact in there, too. Only 1 homer to this point. The game from Ketel Marte was a solo shot. But remember, on Sunday, the Brewers were also down against Zach Gallen in the 5th inning. They were down 5-0 in that frame before they eventually came all the way back. And their comeback began from the bottom of the order with 1 out, Joey Ortiz.
The pitch. High fly ball, deep left. Going back is Gurriel, looking up. It is gone. Brewers on the board. A solo shot from Joey Ortiz. His 11th of the season. And it's 4-1 Diamondbacks.
Lane Grindle on the call. He wasn't done in the frame. Terang would break his bat on a ground out. So with 2 outs and nobody on, and the Brewers down 4-1, an infield hit legged out by Jackson Churio started another rally. Then a great at-bat by William Contreras. Fell behind 0-2, worked the count to 3-2, and he got one he could handle.
There he goes, the pitch. Fly ball, center field. Carroll retreating, back at the warning track, at the wall. It is gone! William Contreras, a 2-run blast, and it's 4-3 Arizona.
And then one pitch later, maybe the hottest hitter in the Brewers lineup, Garrett Mitchell.
Here's Garrett Mitchell, first pitch swinging, he hits one out to left center, deep and gone, tie ball game. That back-to-back, and back-to-back days for Garrett.
Seventh time this year the Brewers have hit back-to-back home runs. Garrett Mitchell is on a roll right now. By the way, the last time the Brewers hit three home runs in a single inning was also against an ace. It was against Max Scherzer back in April of last season, and Garrett Mitchell was involved with that one, too. It was Garrett Mitchell, Rowdy Tellez, and Brian Anderson. However, that would unfortunately be the last highlight of the day for the Brewers. They would fail to score another run the rest of the contest, leaving men aboard in three of the final four innings against the Diamondbacks' bullpen as they responded with three runs in the top of the sixth, a home run from Lourdes Gurriel Jr., a infield ground out from Corbin Carroll, and a bases-loaded walk from Randall Grichuk, and you blink, it was 7-4, and that would be the final tonight. So the Brewers, the best they can do is split these Diamondbacks starting over the next 2 days. We'll preview for it next as the Brewers fall 7-4 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Last segment here of the show. This last second text coming in from the 608. On a positive note, Garrett Mitchell is really showing some power. Can this guy be a 25-30 home run hitter? Potentially. Maybe 25, 20, 25. I could see that. 30 is a big number. And to give you some notes on that, the Brewers, since this hot streak started for Garrett Mitchell, which goes back to the Saturday of the A's series on August 24th, Garrett Mitchell, in this time frame, is hitting .292, which is best on the team with at least 50 plate appearances. He's on base is .361. His slugging is .723. His OPS is over 1,000. All the while, he's hitting the ball hard. He's got home runs. He's got 13 extra base hits in that time. Churio has 17, as those two players lead the club. But something to monitor is that there isn't much happening aside from those guys in that stretch. It was good to see Ortiz to get something going today. But Ortiz, this is a slow bleed for him. It's been this way for a while. He's been hitting under 200 for a little bit, going back into the second half. And Gary Sanchez has cooled off quite a bit, too, as he was DHing tonight and was eventually lifted. But he went 0 for 3 at the plate. Tomorrow, we're back to the Saturday start time of 6:10 for the first pitch. We'll be on the air at 5 o'clock, though, with Brewers warm-up. Yours truly have got you covered. And then reacting to it all after the game, too, as Aaron Civale, as we mentioned, will get the ball for Milwaukee going up against Merrill Kelly, a former recruit of Pat Murphy's back at Arizona State. And the funny story that we'll tell tomorrow on Brewers warm-up about his days recruiting him and how he convinced him to come to Arizona State before his final year in the maroon and gold before Murph was let go by the Devils and found his way to the Padres organization. Another thing to note here on the out-of-town scoreboard tomorrow, the Brewers will be keeping an eye on those teams in the wild card race. There are a handful of day games to keep an eye on, including those Phillies and Mets. They will be just about done by the time we're getting on the air. They play at 3 o'clock Central Time. And the Braves and the Marlins also play at 3 o'clock Central Time. So something to keep in mind that we'll be monitoring what both these wildcard teams mean, because Arizona's certainly scoreboard watching this time of year too, and the Brewers trying to figure out who they will be facing. So those two games will likely be finished or nearing their completion by the time we get on the air. Then on Sunday, it'll be Jordan Montgomery getting the ball for the Diamondbacks, left-hander. He was much maligned this year. It has not been pretty for him. He was one of the Boris Four that waited until spring training to get signed. It has not gone well for him. And the Brewers will try to counter and find something good in their direction and earn this split over the next two games. My thanks to our producer, Max Meyerson, and to Craig Kishon for hopping on. I'm Dom Catronio. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 5 o'clock. And until then, keep on swinging.